on the street, embarrassed themselves, maybe, and just joined with him for a while and blessed him, just came and blessed him. Jesus, would he have done the same? I don't know. Was it Christ-like? I would think so. Well, we have journeyed together, as Pastor George already highlighted, with the question, how can we live like Jesus lived? What was so exceptionary or exemplary in Jesus' life? What was so attractive the way he lived? Why did he attract so many people? How could he live this kind of a relaxed life in all kinds of circumstances? Why was there such a balance in his life that even in the most stormiest situation, he did not freak out, but knew what to do? How could he relate to all these kind of people who came to him from all different backgrounds? How could he even be so calm when he was attacked, when people were unfriendly to him? How can we live this kind of life? And as we have pointed out several times, it was that Jesus lived in those three dimensions that we have highlighted this past two Sundays and today as well. There was this relationship that he kept with his Father. And I would suggest this was the cornerstone of his life, this deep connection with his Heavenly Father. We will come back to that today in a different context as well. And then last week we highlighted that how Jesus chose not to do what he needed to do on earth alone. He picked 12 other ones that he wanted to share life with, to spend time with, invest in them, and then let them and then taught them how to continue this kind of mission that he was on. This was a covenant community. And if you look at those characters that he assembled, man, that was quite a group. Those who were sons of thunder, those James and John, who could have brought down judgment right this moment when anything went wrong and people were not really in line with Jesus. There was Peter, who always talked before he thought. There were those who were more quiet in the background, which we don't know too much about. I can only imagine how that group lived together. There were a group like you and me, if you would put 12 of us together, who have different characters, different outlooks on life. And Jesus lived with them, had community with them, shared life with them, and taught us that this is how we are to live as well, live in community with one another, covenant community, with this one difference that Christian community makes, and that is that we are centered around the cross. We are centered around the cross. That's what unites us. Not so much our same hobbies, same socioeconomical background. It's what Jesus did in my life. And today we'll focus on the third dimension of his life, out. That Jesus lived this life not out of an office in the synagogue, where he mostly spent his time and then came out of this whenever he had to go home. No, Jesus actually lived his daily life out in the presence, in the public, with people always around him, meeting them wherever he went. And we're looking at this kind of compelling lifestyle. And the thing that we need to highlight over and over again is this is the kind of life that Jesus lived, and this is the kind of life that Jesus would for us, that we live this same kind of life. And we have highlighted last week already, we usually tend to live only in one or two dimensions because that's where we are comfortable. We tend to live in this one dimension sometimes if you're really introverts, you know, this time with God and to go deeper and deeper into the Word of God and just digging in there and get most out of it. And I'm glad that there are people out there who love this because we learn from them. We learn depth. But that's not the way how God wants us to live. That would be one-sided. And if you be honest, if you are tending towards this, you would also feel that this is not all. You also need to live with other people. And it's not just about social butterflies who just thrive on, you know, being friends with everybody and have 500 friends on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, who are all these social magnets, but people who live in intentional community with other people. That's deeper than just having good time together, because the center of their community is not just hanging out with one another, it's Christ. Christ glues us together. We walk together with him. And we have highlighted that last week, how important that is, that this is at the center of any community, if it's Christian community. It's around Christ at the center. He unites us. Christian community also is defined by doing what Christ taught us to do. And then those who love there, they often miss then the point that they need to spend time with God. And they need to spend this time with Him and talk to Him about life and difficulties. And especially when they run into difficulties and God needs to show up immediately, we know how little we have often spent time with Him in order to understand Him, to hear His voice and to distinguish His voice. But then comes the part that we all are usually feel very uncomfortable about, and that is mission. Out. Oh, that's when we start squirming. This is not my gift. Oh, thank you. That's not my gift. And then we excuse ourselves and say, good that there is the gift of evangelization. It's in the Bible. Awesome. And I'm glad that there are people out there who are really good at that. I admire those people. But you see, Jesus did live in these three dimensions. And we talked about this, that there is a cross to pick up and to bear. And that's usually in that dimension where we are weak. That we need to pick up a cross and do what Jesus tells us to do. Picking up the cross meaning denying ourselves. Denying what I would love to do in some moments and just take up the challenge that Jesus puts before me and says, now you are called to also go out. This is what Jesus left us with. The last words of go out, make disciples. So how are you doing about it with this? See, and we have been through, over the course of our life, probably through different, if you're a Christian, through different experiences. I've looked back, I had to reflect on this thing because this is certainly not my strong point. I am an introvert, I have confessed that, and I struggle. This is my cross. My cross is out. It's literally my cross that Jesus always tells me to pick up and says, you need to learn to live this way. But I have also in this last week reflected a lot upon why is it that we struggle so much with this element of our lives? Why? See, in my time of ministry, I have done almost everything that ministry could have done. I went and did street ministry. That was a time in my early youth when I was still young and did youth work. And so we went out to the streets in the town that we grew up, and we went to the streets in one market corner. We always had the same corner. And I think once a month or twice a month, I can't remember exactly, but we went out there. And then we had sang some songs. We had some sketches that we played and sometimes some drawings that we made. And we had a message that we shared. And then we went out and had the four spiritual laws. And then we went with people to them and asked them to make a decision for Jesus Christ. So I did that, admitting that the night before I never slept. Oh, that gave me stomach aches just to think about we go out again. But we did that. We did the thing. We went from door to door. I did this too. I went from door to door and we knocked on those doors and did the spiritual survey. That's how we call this thing. And then asked people many questions. And then at the last question was, do you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ? And we hopefully you said yes. So, and we did this too. So, and I'm not making fun of that. There is ways and places and situations where this is fine. But why was it always that we got squirmy about this? This is something that I never really bought into in my life and never really took on, that I took this as a way of life. And there are several reasons for that. And some of them I will touch on this morning as we go through some of the things that Jesus teaches us. And I think that's always the best way to do is go back to what Jesus did. How would he do mission? Is there something that we could learn from him how he did that? However, this said, remember, there's always a cross to pick up. It's never easy. It's never this thing, finally I have an easy way of doing it. You know, you will learn that there is, as soon as you venture out and share the message of Jesus Christ, you enter into enemy territory. You take hold of what God owns, but we're still an enemy is trying to hold of that. You enter into territory that is often connected with fights and with, spiritual battle that you enter into. We'll come to that as well. So how can I develop a missional lifestyle? And that's what it is. Mission is not, and that's maybe the most important point that you may take away today, is it's not an event. Mission is not that one time when you just go with other ones and you have this mission thing that you do from church and you go to the neighborhood and pray for the neighbors and I have done my mission today. Phew, Jesus must be happy. Mission is a lifestyle. And as I mentioned, this is probably the most important thing to learn. And that has to do with our identity, who we are. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, You belong to his family. You belong to his family. You are his child. And you never stop being his child wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever people you are together with, whether you're on vacation, whether you go shopping with your neighbors, whether you're at work, whether you live in your apartment or your house with your neighbors, you are a child of God all the time. And unless we grasp that simple truth, I think we will have difficulties to do mission properly. You have to understand, I am a child of God. At school, at work, wherever I am, I come as somebody who follows Jesus Christ. And you need to be rooted in this kind of identity of knowing who you are, that you are firm with us, that you're sure about this, that you know, yes, I am a child of God. I am belonging to him. And I'm glad about it. I am excited about it. Jesus is my king that I serve. That's how it starts. Who are you? You are a child of God. And when you meet your baker tomorrow, you come there as a child of God. When you go out eating today and the waitress is serving you, you are sitting there as a child of God meeting this waitress. You are a child of God. And when you come to work tomorrow and meet your colleagues, you are a child of God. You are following Jesus Christ. But you know what happens? Often we switch this off. As soon as we leave the doors here today, we switch this off. And it's not a secret that Christians are the worst customers, you know, when it comes to restaurants. My kids served, most of them, I think all of them, and they can tell you stories about that. You know, Sundays is the worst day to serve. That's so shameful. Because we are children of God, we represent him to that sometimes unfriendly server. We're still children of God. And represent him, even if if the service is not top-notch. Even if sometimes the food is not the best. We're children of God. How does a child of God react? How do we represent Jesus Christ in those situations? See, that's where mission comes in. Missional lifestyle. Sharing Jesus Christ wherever we are. And that's where it counts that we are people who truly represent him in our character. And before we go deeper into this, and this morning we will just have a very brief look at that, our time runs quickly, is another thought that's very foundational for our missional endeavor, developing a missional lifestyle. And that is not so much that we also are looking at who we are and our identity, but also grasp the fact that Jesus always walks ahead of me. Jesus always walks ahead of me. I never am in a place where he was not and is not. Wherever I am, whatever it happens to me, I walk with him and he walks ahead of me. This is a very simple thought, but a very foundational one actually that shaped my life. I have to say, it shaped my life. It was years ago, I don't know how many years ago, there was Henry Blackaby. He published a book, Experiencing God. I don't know, some of you may have known the book. If you have not, read it. Great book. But in this book, he developed this idea that God is always at work and working ahead of you. And all that you do is basically you join him. But you see how we often do work is if I'm not going, Jesus will not be there. I have to bring Jesus to the places where he is not. Well, little theological error. He is already there. And I'm walking into a situation where he's already there, where he's preparing. You see, how do we know that? We just, as I said, go back to Jesus. Let's learn what he did. And there's a text that I dealt with this week. You can read it up at home, and I didn't have it here on the screen. But it says in John 5, verse 16, Jesus is in conflict with the leaders in his time, and they had some questions why he is not resting on Sabbath and why he's doing work on Sabbath. And this is what Jesus said. So because Jesus was doing these things on Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. So things got really tight. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." Did you get that? Jesus said to them, "My Father is working, and I can't help but work too. It's my job. My Father is working. He is working around me. He's not sleeping on Sabbath. He's not sleeping in today. He is working all around me, and I am working with him." And he continues to say, Verse 19, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Later on in verse 30, it comes back to the same thing. I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus lived with this up relationship fully intact, being in touch with his Father and knowing, my Father is already working ahead of me. I only do what I see my Father doing. I just join him in his work. Therefore, mission and living a missional lifestyle happens in this environment of God's kingdom. That God is working around me, and the things that may be happening to me, people that I'm running into, may be not so accidental as it looks. It may be that Jesus is already working ahead of me, and that those people I bump into, those occasions that I experience, maybe certain ways how God is already orchestrating things around me where he just says, hey, come on, I need you. Here, I need you to share something about what you believe. Here, I need you just to be Christ to this person and do something well like those folks did here on the street. Where Jesus is already there and he just invites us to be joining him what he is doing. See, mission is not on your shoulders. Mission is not the thing that only you can do and nobody else, and that if you don't do it, Jesus is helplessly standing aside and he says, I don't know what to do. Jesus is working and he's calling you to join him. And the thing that we need to learn is to be in tune with Jesus. See, that's why the up dimension is so important, that we live in touch with him, that we hear him, that we learn to distinguish his voice, that we hear his word, read his word, hear when he speaks. That's why we need others who help us understand that and flesh that out and sometimes bounce off ideas and say, God is sharing this with me. What do you think that means? So I need others to work through this and then go where Jesus needs you to go. Now briefly, five things that come from the text that we have read this morning. As we go out and as we are developing this kind of lifestyle of followers of Jesus Christ, there's five things that help us to fulfill this mission. First, there's a time. There is a time. Jesus addresses those 72 that he sends out and he says, the harvest is ripe. There is a harvest. It's time to go. Timing. Knowing the right time. You see, and this is something that we also only can distinguish when we know that the Father is working around us. Sometimes we need to try to discern what's happening. If we are in touch with a certain person, where is this person? See, a brilliant example that is often used, and is a brilliant example, is how Jesus is dealing with the woman at the well. How he is testing the waters with her. Jumping over some, no-nos and taboos in those days that he talked to a woman and also a Samaritan woman on top was one of the things, but he did. So he just jumped down and says, can you give me something to drink? And as she is getting ready and getting him something to drink, he talks, if you would know who I am, you would ask me, I would give you living water. And her ears pork. What? Living water? Awesome. What is that? Better than the standing water here in the well. And I wouldn't have to go to the well. You see how Jesus is testing the water. Where is she? Is she interested? Is she responding? And then there's a discussion developing between those two, some theological things where she talks about the difference between Samaritans and Jews and tries to involve Jesus in this discussion. But Jesus knows, no, you woman, you are ready. And I need, you need to tell, you see something. You need to understand who you are. And you know how it went. And he showed her, that he knows exactly who she is and what she needs. You see, there is a proper time. As you reach people with Jesus Christ, there's a proper time to share what you need to share. And sometimes we have acted, I have looked in my own life, very unwisely. We took the Bible and whacked people over the head with this thing. You better swallow that. That's what the truth is. Instead of building relationships first, trying to get to know my neighbors. I know in the early days when we had evangelizations, it was an event in church. Then we all got active, and invited neighbors to that special event in church and wondered why nobody came. Because we have no relationship with them. Why would they come? There's a time, and you build this time with people. And you ask God, is this the right time? Secondly, there is a team. Notice that Jesus says two and two. Mission is not just an endeavor that you do on your own. God gave you brothers and sisters with whom you can share in reaching out. And if you are married and you both are followers of Jesus Christ, wow, You can do it together. And you can complement one another. Usually in a marriage, you are different types of people. And that's awesome. Because you reach different people. You see different things. I'm always glad that my wife is not like me. It would be boring. You know, she's different. And she sees things different. Although it's sometimes, you know, we have to discuss this because I'm always right. But you know how that works. We can work as a team. And I'm glad that she sees things that I don't, that she reaches people that I don't. And we can help each other. We go as a team. And then there are brothers and sisters with whom you can tackle bigger things. Like if God puts something very specific on your heart, a special group of people will come to, a special need that's there where you need more. You can join forces with your brothers and sisters and do this together, that support you, that pray for you, and you can go out to do it together. Jesus doesn't want you to be a lone ranger out there. That's very unusual if it happens, but usually he sends you out in a team. Thirdly, there's a target. There's a time, there's a team, there's a target. There's someone that Jesus needs to reach. You don't have to be randomly spreading everything out, but there's a target that Jesus would like to direct you to. Maybe it's a certain person that he brings into your life, that all of a sudden you have to think about this person. Maybe there's a certain situation in which you know I can be Christ in this situation. Maybe there's a certain group of persons that are on your heart, and that can be so diverse as people are diverse. I know some in our church do work with Muslims. Great, there's a target. They're reaching out. There's others who could work with single mothers or single parents or those who are on the fringes of society, those who are on the street. And you could see, God, you have a burden for that, a heart for this. And believe me, if you have a heart and a burden for that, it's not coming from you. God is tugging in your heart. And he pulls you and he pushes you and says, just go. Watch the time. Do it as a team. And focus on your target. And fourthly, you have a task. You see, what often goes as a witness is that we say, I go to church. Whew, done my witness. You know, if I go to church or to a car club, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that I go to church. Well, it's good if we can say that, and don't get me wrong. But mission is that you have a message. You have something to share with them. And that message might not come across right away, but the message is, first of all, that you are Christ in a certain situation. You see what those folks did in the video? They didn't share anything about faith. I don't know whether they're Christian. But they helped this person in need, and that's how it sometimes starts. You would see a need and you help. You just do what Christ would do. And to bring Christ and the reign of Christ there. And can I say something else? Maybe we can pray for someone. For someone who maybe is sick and seeks healing. Don't drag him to the church and to the pastor. Pastor, you need to pray for him. Pray. You, if you are a child of God and you are connected to your Father, you can pray right then and there. I said, can I pray for you? And you might be surprised what God can do, because it's not up to you what God is doing. You're not on pressure here. It's what God is doing. Say, God, here's somebody who is in need. Can you take care of that? You can pray for your neighbor where you know that your neighbor goes through a difficult time. You can pray. You can bring Christ. You see what the disciples did? He said, there was a certain message. The kingdom of God is here. And then he said, then heal the sick. Drive out demons. Bring the kingdom of God to bear where you are. You bring the kingdom of God to bear where you are. It's fully there where you are following Jesus Christ and live in obedience to him. The kingdom of God is fully there. Trust in that. Bring it to bear. Let Jesus do his work and be glorified and lifted up. Not that he always does the miraculous, but it's not to you to decide, is it? It's that we know about him and share this and bring those people to Christ. The most important thing is not the healing. The most important thing is somebody grasping in faith, I need Jesus. And as eternal life, and everything else may come with it. You have a task. And you know what a good thing is to learn how you do it. One of the things that I learned from my son when he was attending one specific church, they did a great thing. And I found this very intriguing and helpful. What they did each week, they took a Bible story, a New Testament story, and learned to retell the story without naming Jesus. And when they had contact this week, they tried to share that story with somebody else. And should the occasion arise and they felt they could go further, they mentioned that this is about Jesus. It's a great thing. So they trained themselves to tell biblical stories in a modern context. And then if you understand the time is right, people are listening, you can say, well, this is actually about Jesus. It's about him. So you learn how to share this. And the last one, trouble. Trouble. Well, that doesn't fit here, doesn't it? But it does. Jesus makes some things very clear. I sent you how? Like sheep among wolves. I mean, if you are a nature lover and love nature films, you know that doesn't mix well. You take a sheep, which is probably one of the most innocent and defenseless animal, and send it among wolves. But Jesus said, that's how you go. And I think he will teach us with that a very profound lesson. How and what kind of an attitude we meet those around us. Not out of a sense of superiority. Here I come, I'll share you something. I come from under, as vulnerable as I can be. Entirely vulnerable. Why? Because you need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit to work with you. And that's a humbling lesson to learn. You never come from superiority. It's easy if you feel intellectually and everything else, you know, above someone that you talk to argue this person down to the ground and let him, you know, give him no way out. Paul did that, by the way, at the beginning of his mission. He did the same thing. He argued them to the corner. And Jesus had to teach him, you know, that's not how you do evangelism. You come as sheep who goes among wolves. And then he goes even so far and says, and don't even take anything with you. Let others help you. Be dependent. Oh, we don't like that. We love our independence. Be dependent. And let others help you. He says even to these who send out them, you know, to when they distinguish a person that they would like to stay with. They call him a son of peace. That's what he actually literally says here. If there's a son of peace, then stay there. And let this son of peace serve you. Eat what they put before you. Live from what they give you. And share with them the good news. Look for people who serve you. Look for people who like you, who want to spend time with you, who listen to you. And then take this as an opportunity to share what God says. But you may face trouble. Yes. You may face resistance. Yes. You may face that people don't like you anymore. That some colleagues actually will make life difficult for you at work because you are a Christian. That can happen. It can happen that you have to forfeit a promotion because you're a Christian. That can happen. And Jesus said, never said otherwise. It's going like sheep among wolves. There's danger out there. There's the enemy out there. He will discourage you. He will do whatever he can to not do what you are called to do. He will give you all excuses in the world not to go where you need to go. But don't give in. Go in the name of Jesus and with his power and in his strength. And I would like to invite Pastor Dan to come and share how this could be done and how we do this here at Grace Point.
I was really excited to have this opportunity to talk about what we've been doing or what God has been doing through Ramp Up Sports here at Grace Point. We do have a few drop-in sports that we have opened up to our church family here, but also to the community. And our motto is be active and be known. We try to marry this necessity of being physically active. We're supposed to lead healthy lives so that we can enjoy life to its fullest. But we all want to be known. Being lonely is a very lonely place. And so what we try to do with Ramp Up Sports is to have this good balance of getting physical activity, getting a good sweat, but also building relationships. Relationships with our brothers and sisters who are there, but also with those coming from the community that don't have a faith in Jesus Christ. And I've loved what Egbert has said, and just going down the list of how we've been trying to do this. We know that Jesus is going before us. And so I try to remember every Sunday night. Sunday night is the one I go to, ball hockey on Sunday night, very regularly. And that's kind of my circle of friendships that I've built over the years. But every Sunday night I try to say, okay, God, who are you going to draw me to today? And there's a few guys that I really key on. I try to build that relationship with every weekend. But God opened that door. And there's many times where I've missed that open door. And I've completely just gone right past it and said, no, I'm not ready for that, or I just wasn't listening. And there's been times where the door's been shut, but I'm still knocking down that door and trying to get through. But when God opens those doors and I've been able to walk through, the relationships that I've been able to build, the questions I've been able to ask, has been great. And you just feel this sense of purpose that you are doing what God wants you to be. I try to ask questions like, what was the highlight of your week? To try to get past, how's the weather, or how are the Oilers doing again? But really trying to get, okay, what makes you tick? And then even asking questions like, okay, so how has religion played a role in your life? Because I'm a firm believer that people don't have an issue talking about religion. They may have an issue of you talking about what you believe and imposing it on them, but people know what they believe, or they like to talk about it at least. So I've gotten into some great conversations like that. But it takes intentionality. It takes going to someone and being vulnerable and saying, you know, I actually had a crappy week. Or when you do ask them how they're doing, to be ready to hear not just an answer that is just good or okay, but wanting to learn more about that person. But what I know that every time I go out to ball hockey, and this is my out or one of my outs that I go to, that I am a representative of Jesus. It doesn't matter if I get slashed on the ankle, or at basketball, if I go up for a layup and I get fouled hard, or at badminton, I get a birdie in the back of the head from my doubles partner. It's showing grace, but then investing time into that person, loving them, and not doing it alone, because like Pastor Egbert said, it takes a team. I heard a stat one time where it's like 6 or 7 positive encounters with a Christian for a person to really start to wonder, okay, I wonder why they live that way. And so it takes a team. And we have our ball hockey league that we started with this whole intentionality of, okay, every second Sunday night, we're going to play on the same team. We're going to build that relationship. Hopefully we can go out for wings after the game. So it's not just about hockey, but it's about, okay, what's been going on in your world? And I love it. I love the passion that my team members for Ramp Up Sports have and wanting to extend God's kingdom to those that are coming here into our building, using our gym, using physical activity, a passion of many of ours to extend God's kingdom. And I'm just so fortunate to be able to use a passion that I have with sports, because God gives us all those talents and abilities, and he wants us to use.
Thank you, Dan. Let's now bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to announce that your reign and your kingdom has come. And the last thing that you, Jesus, told us, your followers, is doing that just same thing, to send us into this world and announce that the kingdom has come. And here we are today, and we are called to go into this world and announce that the kingdom has come. Today, tomorrow, this next week. And you know the circumstances in which we live, you know the people that we bump into, you know our relationships that we have. Father, we pray that as we enter into this week, that you keep our hearts, our eyes, our ears alert, that we can see your moves, where you are moving, and that we also understand your invitation when you call on us to share with somebody the love of Christ, maybe by simple actions, actions of love and of kindness, or if we have to proclaim and say something about who you are and how they can find peace in their lives. Give us wisdom. Thank you that you have not left us alone in this endeavor, that you have given us the Holy Spirit, that he is with us, that he lives in us, that we can go in his power to do this kind of work. We thank you for this, and we thank you for this calling. Amen.